stuff in the Lord. I want to bring a message this morning that I titled the message, The Belief of Hell. The Belief of Hell. And so I want it to be a message this morning that we all understand and we all know. And I believe it's an important message in the day and hour in which we live. We live in a day today that many people think there's many ways to get to heaven. And we live also in a society that has this word belief or believe in Jesus, and that solves it all, and you're saved and you're going to heaven because you believe in Jesus. And so this morning I want to just tell you that believing in Jesus is part of salvation, but not all of salvation. There are those who believe that all you have to do is believe on Jesus, and you just have to call on Jesus, and Jesus will save you. And then after Jesus saves you, that He'll become Lord later on in your life, whenever that might take place. It may not ever take place, but you're saved without Christ being Lord. And then there's others who say, well, you can believe and call on Jesus to save you, and then you can just live your life however. I mean, you can live the same wicked life you lived before. You can continue in your habitual sin. You can continue in your practicing of sin. I mean, you don't have to change in no way. All you got to do is just believe. All you got to do is just call on Jesus and get saved, and you're dying and you're going to heaven. But you don't have to have any kind of commitment. You don't have to have any kind of change. You don't have to have any kind of conversion. You don't have to have any kind of conviction in your heart towards sin. In other words, what I'm saying today, we've got multitude of churches, mega churches, that are full of people that call themselves Christians, and the only thing they ever done in all their life is just believe. And they say they're saved. And then we got other people who say there's more ways to get to heaven than going through Jesus. And then we got other sects of people all over the world who don't even acknowledge Jesus for salvation. Now, I'm saying that all that equals to one thing this morning. It equals to the belief of hell. That's what it equals to. The belief of hell. Now, I'm going to try to preach that this morning out of James chapter 2 and verse 19. If you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand to our feet and we'll begin with the Lord's laid on my heart. I've got a great burden for this world, for this church, for this America in which we live in the city in which we live, that we understand and know how a man is born again. Amen? Two things is required for a man to be born again. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way, repent and believe. Amen? And so two things, repentance and believe, in order to be born again. But there are many, many, many people who are lost, dying and going to hell, being deceived by thinking that they believing in Jesus will get them there. And then our churches are more worldly. Our people are more sinful. There's no separation of the world in our churches. We're just like the world. We look like the world. We talk like the world. We dress like the world. We think like the world. And the problem is the world is in our churches because they've never been saved. Listen, either you have a belief of hell or you have a belief of heaven. And I'm going to preach on the belief of hell this morning. And it starts right here in James chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's read that together. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Let's read it once again. Let this soak into your mind and your heart. Salvation is more than believing. The Bible says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus here this morning, and Father, what a sobering thought that it is. Brother Jimmy has mentioned it today, and Brother Keith has mentioned it in his Sunday school. Father, concerning salvation and the change and the conversion that takes place in people's lives. And Father, and yet we live in a world today that just ignores and, Father, just takes the way that is called the broad way. And we ask You today, God, help us to understand the Scripture. God, as we take the whole counsel of God, and Father, how we may preach and teach the Word of God, Father, that we would understand completely all of Glory Baptist Church, how a man and a woman and a boy and girl can be saved and born again, and Father, and headed for a place called heaven. In Christ's holy name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. James chapter 2 is talking about faith. It's dealing with faith. It's dealing with belief. And we see that all through the Scripture there. If you want to look at it with me, the Bible says there in verse 17, even so faith, it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, if a man say that thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing that thou hast faith sought or wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Then down in the last portion of the Scripture says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, so we see the context of the Scripture, of the whole chapter, is dealing with faith. Amen? And so here, dealing with faith, he comes and makes a statement there in James about the devil and his faith. You could call it the faith of hell if you want to this morning. The belief of hell. I want to say, number one, concerning hell's faith or hell's belief is this morning, is hell's wisdom. In order for you to have a faith or a belief in something, you're going to have some sort of wisdom involved in that. We find that in chapter 3 in verse 15. Look what the Bible says in James 3 verse 15. It says, this wisdom, the wisdom that we've been talking about here about faith, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That word devilish is the same root word as in chapter 2, verse 19, when it says the word devils. It's the same word. It's the same context. It's the same thought. There's nothing different between the devilish and the devil. So we're talking about the same thing this morning. And what is hell's wisdom? Well, hell's wisdom, the word wisdom there in chapter 3 verse 15 means this morning. It means a broad and full intelligence. It means also to have an understanding of understanding of what is being spoken or being told of. And so what the Bible is saying this morning is that there is a devilish, there is a worldly, there is an earthly, a sensual wisdom. And this wisdom means to have a understanding and even to have a broad or full intelligence of what faith is or what God is. Amen? The Bible says here in the Scripture that this wisdom, hell's wisdom, has nothing to do with God. Look what it says in verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above. And so the Bible says, according to the Bible, that there is nothing of this faith or this belief or this wisdom where this faith would come from has nothing to do with God at all. It has nothing to do with heaven. Has nothing to do with eternal life. Has nothing to do with the things of God. Has nothing to do with being born again. Has nothing to do with being a believer or a Christian. And so this wisdom, that is a devilish wisdom, which is what the devils believe with God, did not come from God. So what I'm saying is, the very belief of this devil that there is one God is a belief or a faith that has nothing to do with God. Amen? Number two, I will say that this wisdom, hell's wisdom, has everything or has something to do with men. In other words, this wisdom that this Bible talking about faith now this morning, has something to do with men. And we see that by it says, but is earthly. It's earthly. So this wisdom, this intellect, this understanding of who God is or who what God is and the faith in which you have in that God or the faith that you have in God has something to do with man. Man builds, man creates his own belief. Amen? His own wisdom. His own understanding, his own intellect. For the Bible says that this wisdom that does not come or not descend from heaven is a wisdom of earthly. Amen? It's just meaning has something and everything to do with man. It's man produced. It's man productive. It's man's generating. It's man coming up with some wisdom, some coming up with some understanding and intellect. Hell's wisdom has nothing to do with God, has everything to do with men, because it says it's earthly. That word earthly means worldly, physically, and morally. The word fleshly or sensual there in verse 15, the Bible says is sensual. The word sensual means natural or animal life. Or animal-like. In other words, this wisdom that he's talking about, that these devils have, and this wisdom and this faith in which his devils have, this belief that the devils have, is a belief of an animal-like belief. In other words, this morning, everything that God created would have some sort of idea who God is. I believe this morning that every animal that's ever been created knows who its creator is. Amen? I mean, we can't ask a dog, we can't ask a cow, we can't ask some other animal, hey, who's God? But I know they know who their creator is. Amen? And so this morning, we see that this wisdom is sensual. It means that it is just natural. In other words, when a man is born, when an animal is born, when a creation is born, there's some natural about that. There's a God. There's a creator. Amen? And so that's what the kind of wisdom we're speaking of, that's of hell. Hell's wisdom. Now I want to say thirdly, that hell's wisdom, talking about in verse 15, has everything to do with Satan. Everything to do with Satan, hell's wisdom does. The Bible says that according to this verse here in verse 15, it says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. This wisdom has everything to do with Satan. This belief that there is one God has everything to do with Satan. Amen? Stay with me now. Resembling or proceeding from an evil spirit is what this word devil, or this word devilish means. I'm giving you a definition of it. To do with Satan, everything, it resembles Satan, it proceedeth from Satan, of an evil spirit. It means demon-like, it means demonic, it means inspired by demons. This is what the word devilish means. And so this morning as we come to the conclusion of this thought that there is a wisdom that has nothing to do with God, has something to do with man, has everything to do with Satan, and this wisdom does not come from heaven, it is sensual and earthly. And so then we go back to chapter 2, in verse 19, and the Bible says very clearly that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe. Devilish. Everything about them is what they're talking about towards God here, amen? Has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with the things that are right, the things of salvation, the things of redemption, has everything to do with the wisdom of why they believe that there's one God. Amen? Oh, stay with me. The example is chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Now, devils here believe there is one God. The devils believe there is one God. The devils believe there's one God. I mean, I'm talking about hell believes there's one God. That's hell's wisdom this morning. All of hell believes there's one God. All of hell, everything about hell believes that. The devil, Satan, they believe there is one God. That's remarkable to me this morning. To know and to think that hell's wisdom would say that there is just one God. Amen? And boy, in that we have amongst us today as people who call themselves atheists. Now, atheist is one who believes or denies the existence of a supreme being. In other words, there's no God. That's what an atheist believes. Amen? And so in an atheist believing there is no God, even hell's wisdom believes there's one God. What does that make an atheist? I mean, listen, friend, if all of hell believes there's one God, and some yo-yo or some crackpot thinks that there's no God, and he wants to stand up on his hind legs today, and wants to rule and reign with his no-God mentality, even hell don't believe that. That's where he's headed. He's headed to places that believe more than he believes. If you don't believe there's no God, you're definitely not going to heaven. If you believe there's no God and you're going to hell, well, they believe there's one God. I mean, how uncomfortable can you be an atheist when you die and go to hell? I mean, how much a fool that you are, as Isaiah says and as Psalm says, the fool says in his heart there's no God. Well, no reason he's a fool. So the atheist we see is their wisdom is less than hell's wisdom. Number two, there is also people who are theistics. Polytheism means they believe in many gods. And so there's a multitude of groups out there that don't believe in one God. They believe in many gods. You know, some of those are like Hindus, Buddhas, some people like that who believe that there's many gods, not just one God. And so now we got a group of people, a whole lot of people, if you add up all the Hindus and Buddhists and all the rest that believes there's a multitude of gods like the Greeks and the Romans and you on and on and on and on this morning who don't believe there's only one true living God. They believe in many gods and they believe in other gods and they believe of a lot of gods. Well, listen, even their wisdom is less than hell's wisdom. Hell at least believes in one God. They believe in a multitude of gods. I wonder if they're headed to heaven. I mean, here's the devil. He believes in one. They believe in many. Here's the atheist. They don't believe in no God. But hell believes in one God. I wonder if any of these groups are going to heaven. No! I answer it for you. Uh-uh. Hey, if you can't believe at least what the devil believes, dear God. I know I might be stepping on some toes and hurting some feelings, but I'm telling you the truth this morning. If you can't believe at least what the devil believes, and he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, friend, listen, you're in real trouble. So all those polytheists, many gods, and then there's another group that's called monotheists. Monotheists is groups such as who believe in one God. They believe in one God. Such as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Those three groups and maybe others this morning who believe in one God. Amen? And so we're part of that group this morning. If you're a Christian, you're part of this group. Now, the God in which you're speaking of in the Bible here, in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says there is one God. That word one means only one God. So there's not a possibility of two or many or no, but one only. But the word God there is an important God. The word God is referring to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. If you study through the Bible, you'll find that this word God, the name of the Hebrew name is Jehovah or Yahweh. Alright? Now, breaking it down even further about believing in one God, but it's got to be the right God. And so we have the Judaism and we've got Christianity believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the one true only God. All through the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you'll find that the one true God is Jehovah, amen, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you have Islam who believes in a pagan moon god. Just one, though. His name is Allah. All right? Allah and Jehovah is not the same God. Allah, matter of fact, is just as a word that this would say God. It's really not even a name. But he's referring to the moon god, which is a pagan god. And yet now Islam this morning is of a monotheism, but they are serving, or they are looking, or they are believing in one God, and that's the moon God. So we have Judaism, and we have Christianity that believes in this God here of the Bible. Breaking it down a little further, here's the difference between us and them. This God is determined into three persons. The first person is God the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, don't turn there, but it gives us that fact. God the Father. The second person of God is God the Son. God the Son is told about in John chapter 10, verse 30, where Jesus said, I and my Father, the first person, are one. The third person of the Trinity, or the third person of God, is God the Spirit, which He gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The same word that describes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit is the same word as in James chapter 2, verse 19. And so this morning, all I'm saying is this, is that hell believes there's one God. And yet there's groups out there that don't even believe that. And they believe more than that. And they believe in one God, but it's the wrong God. There's only one people out there that believe that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is Yahweh, which is Jehovah, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is the one that gives you salvation. All right, you follow me? So, hell's wisdom this morning. My, what a shock that is. This is what Christians believe. This is not what the Jews nor the Muslims believe. Matter of fact, this is what hell believes. Amen? Number two, not only is there hell's wisdom, but there's hell's words that have been recorded in the Bible. Now, if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, inspired, inerrant. We believe that it's a power of God. We believe it's true to be. We believe it's settled in heaven this morning. Then what we're about to read, what we're about to talk about, must be facts. Amen? It sure is. It's recorded by Jesus, spoken of Christ, spoken of God. I want you to notice hell's words recorded in the Bible. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, I want to talk about where the Bible says that the devils believe. The devils believe. We'll show you that in the Bible where it says that. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29 this morning. Matthew 8, verse 29. Some remarkable statements has been made here. Here we come to a place where Jesus is now in the country of the Gadareans, and He met two that are possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. Verse 29 now, listen to what they say. It says, And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Now this is the devils confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Now friend, I'm going to tell you something this morning. Even all those other people I talked about a while ago, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, there are a multitude of people today in the Christian churches that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they believe it with some intellect. They believe it with full understanding of it. And friend, they believe it, but yet even the devils believe that He's the Son of God. So is believing enough? Oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What does it mean to be the Son of God? It means that Jesus is co-eternal with the Father. It means He's co-equal with the Father. It means He's co-essential with the Father. And what's the Bible saying? The Bible saying is that these devils are confessing by their words that Jesus is the Son of God. in a multitude of Christians, in a multitude of churches today that are under the realm of Christianity, are confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet they're not saved, they're not born again, they're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, they still live like they used to live, they're still trusting in their works, and friend, they're not faithful at all, nor reliable to the things of God. They're shamed, they've come to be disgraced to the church in the name of Christ, because their life don't add up to whom they say they believe. The devil say that Jesus is the Son of God. And do you think they live a righteous life? And do you think they believe in holiness? Do you think they celebrate Jesus? Do you think the devils will lift up His name? Do you think Jesus will follow Him? Do you think these devils will follow Jesus all the way? You got to be kidding me. So just because you say you believe that Jesus is the Son of God gives you no right to heaven, as it doesn't give them right to heaven. So there must be more. Must be more. I want to show you the second thing. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 11. Mark chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "The unclean spirits, and when they saw Him, fell down before Him, cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." You know who the unclean spirits are? The devils of James chapter 2, verse 19. The wisdom of James chapter 3, verse 15, that's being devilish. These are them. These are the evil spirits, the unclean spirits. And they're saying, "Listen, man, we have absolutely, Thou art the Son of God." Man, there's no question. There's no doubt. There's no misunderstanding. I mean, there is absolutely, could be no confusion in that statement. Thou art the Son of God. Definite. Hell's words is giving us what they believe. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you think the devil's going to heaven, you don't know your Bible. Bible says also, once you turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Not only does these devils confess Jesus is the Son of God, but these devils, listen to this now, they know. Well, this is an important word. Because a lot of people say, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know knowing Jesus ain't enough?" Somebody say amen. Look what the Bible says in verse 24. He says, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Man, not only do they know that Jesus is the Son of God by confessing it, but now they say, "I know." I mean, you can't convince me any different. I know. I know that I know that I know that I know. What do you know? I know as a devil that Jesus is the Holy One of God. So what does that mean to us? Well, it means this. It means the Holy One of God means that He's the Messiah. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, Daniel references and says that there's going to be a Holy One that's going to come as the Messiah, and here He is. So even the devils know that Jesus is the Messiah. You know what the Jews don't know? That Jesus is the Messiah. But hell knows that. Ain't that amazing? Hell knows in its belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Holy One of God. It also means that Jesus is sinless and perfect, without guilt, without any type of sin, spotless all the way. He is the Holy One of God. And He's the only Holy One of God. It also means that He is holy. It makes Him holy is because He is God. And so now even the devils know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. They know it. They're not just confessing it. They know it. You see, when you confess something, it may not be in you. But when you know something, it's a little different. Whether you confess it or not, don't matter. You just know it. Does that make sense? I know some things, but I've never said it. That don't mean I don't believe them. All I'm saying this morning is we're going a little bit deeper with these devils, as they know that Jesus is the Messiah. Thirdly, I want you to turn the Bibles to Luke 4, verse 41. I'm just giving you some the devil's words that's describing the belief of the devil of hell. Luke chapter 4, verse 41. The devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." Now we're going a little bit more. I mean, now they're saying that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And then he goes on and says at the very bottom, says, "And rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ." I mean, now the devils not only know or say that Jesus is the Son of God, but they knew that He is the Holy One of God, but now they know even more that He's Christ. And you want to live on your belief? Then I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He's the Holy One of Israel. He's perfect. He's without sin. Oh, I believe that He's Christ. The devils do that. Oh, the word Christ would mean the Anointed One. Don't turn there, but I'm going to give you a few. Matthew 16, 14. The Bible says that Christ, the Son of the living God. They believe that. Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 11 is Christ the Lord. They believe that. John chapter 4, verse 42 says that Christ, the Savior of the world. They believe that. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24 says Christ, the power of God. They believe that. James chapter 2, verse 1 says Christ, the Lord of glory. And then lastly, 1 John 2, 1 says Christ, the righteous. They said, "We know Thou art Christ." All they're saying is, "We know You're Lord. We know You're Savior. We know You're the Lord of glory. We know You're the righteous. We know You're the power of God." Now, let me ask you something this morning. How many people do you know that consider themselves to be Christians that the first thing that they want to brag about is what they know? And the first thing you want to hear from their words is their words. And their words is describing their wisdom. Is I believe that Jesus died. I believe that Jesus resurrected. I believe that Jesus walked on water. I believe He's God. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe that He calmed the sea. I believe that He's the Redeemer. I believe in this and that of Jesus Christ. I believe everything about Jesus. I believe everything the Bible says about Jesus. I believe all Jesus. And if I'm going to tell you something, what the devil is saying is this, is what we know and we have heard and we have said to you that we know and we say that He is the Son of God, He is Christ, and He is the Holy One of God. But this is hell's belief. This is what the devils are teaching. So you know what? This morning, there's no hope for anybody else who believes there's more gods. There's nobody else. There's no hope for those who believe there's no God. And there's no hope for those who don't believe in this one God. Because the devils believe in this one God, but it's a hell's belief. Am I making sense or am I kind of messing all this up? I want to show you Acts chapter 19, verse 15. I want to show you the acknowledging of Jesus. Turn there if you would. So not only is there a confessing Jesus is the Son of God, knowing Jesus is the Holy One of God, saying Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but acknowledging Jesus. Acts chapter 19. Now this is all the devil's words now, or hell's words. And Acts 19, verse 15. The Bible says, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know." But who are you? So the devil is saying, "Listen, man, I'm acknowledging Jesus. I'm acknowledging Jesus. I'm acknowledging His power." Because this is the whole concept of what's talking about in this chapter. Is there's been power that's involved here. There's been miracles that's been performed by Paul and Jesus. And there's been authority by Jesus and His name. And so the devil is saying, all he's saying is this, is I acknowledge Jesus, that He is authority. He is force. He is power. You know how many people today who don't believe that Jesus is the authority, that Jesus is the power, and that Jesus is the force? And yet the devils acknowledge it. Woo! Man, I tell you, the Word of God has just opened the eyes of those who want to see. No wonder our churches are so dead. No wonder our churches are so anemic. No wonder our churches today are so non-aggressive towards the things of God. Not attracted for the holiness and the godliness. I mean, listen, what our churches today are doing to those that seem to be prospering is they're taking their songbooks and they're taking out the blood of Jesus. They're taking out the grace of Jesus. They're taking out the forgiveness of Jesus. They're taking out the life of Jesus. They're taking out the death and the burial of Jesus. And they're putting some other words in. And they're putting some other phrases in. And that rhyme and sound glitchy. And they get the music and the drums. And they get the bouncing. And next thing you know, Jesus is out of the song books. But the flesh is sensual and devilish. The preaching of God's Word. No longer preaching on the cross of Christ. No more preaching on the blood of Christ. No more preaching on the life of Christ. No more preaching on the body of Christ. No more preaching on the forgiveness of Christ. No more preaching on the grace of Christ. It's all preaching about man and how much better you can become and how much more you can get and how God wants to bless you and prosper you. What is going on? I tell you what's going on. It's false belief. That's been widespread and all over the world. And we see it by hell's wisdom. We see it by hell's words. They're copycats. They're going right along. They're deceived by the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And they think they got everything right. They think they got the easy believism going on. They think that we don't have to repent to be saved. Jesus don't have to be Lord in order for you to get born again. They think they got it all the answers. And yet, the churches are more worldly. The churches are more sinful. The churches are more carnal than ever before. We've got a church on every corner. We've got a church on every street. We've got all kinds of churches. We've got churches above churches. We've got synagogues. We've got all kinds of mosques. We've got all kinds of religious relics. We've got temples. We've got anything and everything that you consider. But the world today is worse than it's ever been before. Something's wrong. I'll tell you what's wrong. It's hell's belief that is being preached from the pulpits and is being believed by the people. And when somebody stands up and preaches something different, they get knocked out and kicked out. They say, that's just why I don't come to your church. That's just why I don't come to your clique. That's why y'all just a cult. That's why y'all just small and little and y'all never grow. Y'all never become big. Let me ask you something, dear friend. Was God for the multitudes back in the Genesis and the flood? No, I don't believe it was for the multitudes. I believe the multitudes died, amen, and went to hell, but there was only a few that were saved. Was God for the multitudes in Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't believe He was. One that got out was Lot. The rest died. So God's not for the multitudes. God's for the truth, amen. And I pray that God will use. Now, this is what hell believes. Just what I told you. Here, lastly now, hell's will. The Bible says, back into our text, we talked about the belief of one God, and we talked about the devil's belief, but then it says in that same chapter, it says, and trembles. Well, hell does more than what a lot of people do. At least hell has some fear about God. Many people don't have no fear about God at all. I want you to notice two things today, and I'll close. Number one, I want you to notice the hell's will outside of hell. Now, see, these demons and these devils we're talking about are not in hell. They're outside of hell. But they have hell's wisdom. They have hell's words. They have the belief of hell or the faith of hell. But they're not in hell. Amen? So these people, these spirits, or unclean spirits, or demons, or evil spirits this morning, they're outside of hell. Well, let's talk about them for just a moment. If you go back to our text, and not our text, but go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. I want you to notice quickly what these demons say to Jesus, who have this faith of hell, who just believe all you got to do is just believe. If you're like that this morning in our congregation, you think all you got to do is just believe Jesus? Well, friend, you have devil's hell. You have the hell. You have the wisdom of hell. Amen? You got the faith of hell. All you got to do is just believe, because that's what hell does. But I'll show you the attitude in which they come forth with Jesus. The Bible says there in chapter 8, verse 29, He says this. He says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee?" See, now this is what the world's reaction is. What do we have to do with thee? Now I want you to turn to one more. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Listen to what they say. I'm talking about hell now. I'm talking about demons. They said, verse 24 of Mark chapter 1, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" Now let me say this concerning this one point. What the world's reaction is, what the religion's reaction is, who have hell's faith, or the hell of faith, is this reaction. Jesus, leave us alone. Right, Brother Jimmy? They don't want nothing to do with Jesus. They're trying to take Jesus' name out of every prayer. They're trying to pull Jesus' name out of every school. Trying to pull Jesus' name out of every courthouse. Listen, our country, America, does not want Jesus. They're just like the demons. They're just like hell. They're saying, leave us alone. What do we have to do with these? These people out here in New York who just got to passing this bill about this gay marriage thing. You know what they're saying? Is Jesus, leave us alone. You know what the abortionists are saying? Jesus, leave us alone. You know what the world today is saying, and all of our religions who don't believe that Jesus is God and Jesus is Savior and Lord, and they don't want Jesus to have a personal relationship with them. They don't want Christ through His blood to forgive them of their sins. They don't want to repent of their sin and receive Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. They don't want to turn from their wicked ways and trust Christ as their Lord and as their God. Them people saying, Jesus! There's no place for you around here anymore. That's old time.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Right? Brother Jimmy, you've been here, you've been saved a long time. Is that what they're doing with Jesus? Absolutely. You go into churches today, you'll find no crosses. You'll find them speaking nothing of Jesus anymore. You'll find them not speaking of His cross, of His judgment, of His blood, of His sacrifice. Jesus in multitude of pulpits right now, this morning, Jesus is absent from their teaching, their preaching, and their singing. Because hell's faith and hell's belief is, let us alone. What do we have to do with thee? Matthew chapter 8. They said, man, listen, were you here to torment us? In Mark chapter 1, verse 24, they said, what are you going to do, destroy us? See, even hell knows. Even hell knows. Say, man, leave us alone. You know what? Down deep in every atheist, and down deep in every polytheist, and everyone that's a monotheist who believes in the wrong God, down deep in their heart, they know that they don't have the truth. They know that that peace and rest is not setting in their heart, because even their conscience knows that the God is only one God and it's not Him. They know. Down deep in their heart, they know that one day there's going to be a torment and there's going to be some destruction. As much as they want to wipe it out, as much as they want to put it forth, God created every one of ones that have ever been created with a conscience of a God. He did. And not a moon god, and not many gods, but of Himself. His name is Jesus this morning. And so the world's reaction is leave us alone with Jesus. I will show you Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. Stay with me for just a moment. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. Don't you know it's not the outside of hell says, leave us alone. The outside of hell says, worship us alone. Look what he says. The Bible says in chapter 4 is when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil comes to him at this third temptation. He says this in verse 9. He said unto him, this is the devil speaking to Jesus. He says, all these things will I give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me. That's what the devil wants. He wants to be worshipped. Jesus said to him, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the devil's saying, listen, outside of hell, he's saying, listen, what I want is worship. And if I can get you to worship me, I can get everybody else that follows you to worship me. And you know what? This morning, that is exactly the idea and the thought process of this whole entire world, even the churches today, is that worship me. Serve me. See, hell's wisdom is the same. It's never changed since the garden. Since the day that he was cast out of heaven in his pride, thinking that he was going to be God, that he wanted to be God, the same thing happens today in all our world. It's not by accident, dear children of God, that we are in an explosion of this world in which we live in all over the world, that life revolves around me. Worship me. Serve me. You see, that's exactly what took place there on the wilderness of the temptation. The devil said to Jesus, worship me. He said, oh no. Worship God and serve Him only. You know what the devil did? The devil walked away. Because he will not worship God and he will not serve God. Amen? You know what the world's doing today? When you tell them, oh no, no. It's not about serving you. It's not about you. It's not how important you are. It's not how you feel. It's not what you think. It's not even what you believe that's important. Matter of fact, you are of none importance. But who is important is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship Him and serve Him. You know what the world's doing today? And all the rest of those religions we spoke of a while ago, and all the rest of those who don't believe, they're walking away. They're walking away. I challenge you to study each one that I spoke of this morning. And I will tell you something. Jesus is not who they're worshiping. And Jesus is not who they're serving. And yet that's what Jesus said to the devil. So now we see on the outside of hell, leave us alone. That's the world's reaction. Worship us alone. That's the world's response. And then we see the world's rejection. Today the world rejects Jesus' blood. They reject the cross of Jesus. They reject the church of Jesus. They reject the word of Jesus. They reject the grace of Jesus. They reject the death of Jesus. They reject the body of Jesus. They reject the forgiveness of Jesus. They reject the Father of Jesus. They reject the Spirit of Jesus. And then they reject the holiness of Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be their Lord and Savior of their life. The devils don't, even though they believe He's the Son of God, even though they believe He's the Christ, and even though they believe He's the Holy One, they will not go to the place and time where they will fall down and worship God, the Lord Jesus Christ, nor serve Him, and there's the break. They may believe in Him, but they'll not become part of Him. You follow me? Hell believes everything the church believes. The only difference is, there's one time in our lives when we repented and we turned from our wicked ways and we received Christ Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. He became part of me and I became part of Him. That's what made the difference. Hell will never do that. These people will never do that. And for folks today, whoever is following hell's belief or hell's faith will find themselves where hell's at is where they'll be at. They don't want to do, nor do they want to live or they want to do and they want to live like they want to. They believe, but they don't. They're not converted. They don't change. They don't make commitment, and they don't conform. Jesus is not loved, nor served, nor lived, nor worshipped, nor followed, nor obeyed. These people all believe in Him, but none of them are saved. If you're like that this morning, you believe in everything, but you're unwilling to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and follow Him and serve Him and worship Him and obey Him and give your life to Him, then all you got is some devilish belief. Lastly, inside of hell, turn your Bibles to Luke 16. This is hell's will now. Luke 16. And I want you to turn, won't you look there in Luke 16, verse about, I was going to read 19 through 31, but time's gotten away. Luke 16, look there about verse 27. Now this is a man that's in hell. We know that. In verse 23 it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. So we know that. Verse 27 says, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, come on Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, and they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. He said, Father, nay, Father, Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now, what is the will, hell's will, inside of hell? Well, this is their will. Their will to repent. Here's a man in hell telling Father Abraham, send somebody. So they repent. So even hell believes, those that are in hell, that repentance is the way to get out of hell. Amen? So here's a man saying, go tell my five brethren. So they repent. Repent from what? Repent from sin. Repent from self. Repent from the society and repent from Satan. Just repent. Turn from their wicked ways. Turn to Jesus Christ. Repent. Have a changed heart. Have a changed mind. If somebody would go tell them, they'll repent. So inside of hell, their hell's will is that everybody would repent. In other words, if hell could send a messenger to you right now that are lost, hell's messenger would say this, repent. Change your ways. Turn from your wicked, sinful ways. Turn to Christ. Here I say, they would say, receive. Who are they going to receive? Well, the Bible says there in verse 30, but if one went unto them from the dead, receive that one that went from the dead. See, hell's will inside of hell is not only to repent, but to receive that one that has risen from the grave. To receive that one. That's hell's will. And lastly, hell's will is to reach out. For he says, go tell my five brethren so they won't come to this place of torment. See, hell is saying this morning in its will, reaching out to all those atheists. Reaching out to all those polytheists. Reaching out to all those monotheists who don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then reaching out for those who do believe in that God, but has never received Him as their Lord and as their Savior. Never become indwelt with the Spirit of God, and you indwelt in God. Never been changed and committed and conformed to the image of Christ. They're saying, reach out to them. Reach out. Can I tell you this morning, that is hell's faith. That is the belief of hell. And I will tell you something. Sadly, the god of this world is the devil. And his faith is outstanding. In multitudes of homes, houses of worship, and in hearts of men. I'm telling you the very truth. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just believing and knowing Jesus is not enough to go to heaven. But repenting and receiving Christ is exactly what you need to do. The devil's not one of them ever repented and never received Christ. Never. And unless anyone else in the whole world will do that, they'll never go to heaven either. When God saves you, God changes you. You'll not live in habitual and practice sin. You'll be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the whole work of God. On a daily basis, you become more just like His dear darling Son, or you'll be chastised, even scourged by God. The most unhappiest people in all the world are those who are really truly born again but not living for God. If God don't chastise you while you're living in sin, then you don't know God and God don't know you. The Bible says that God chastises those that He loves. This morning, if you still like you used to be, you've never changed for the glory of God, then you've never been born again and you're headed for a devil's hell. Why in the world would you want to settle for that this morning? Won't you turn from your sin this morning? Won't you turn to Christ? The Bible said of the Thessalonians, they said this. He said they turned from their idols and to turn to the living God. Won't you do that this morning? Oh, some have come. Would you come? Won't you sing, Brother Jimmy? It's all about Jesus this morning. If your life is not all about Jesus, well, then you're missing it. If your religion is not all about Jesus, then you don't have it. If your very existence is not about Jesus, well, then you don't have eternal life. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. In the Father's eyes, it's about His dear darling Son. In the Spirit's eyes, it's about Jesus, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' eyes, it's all about you. You make the choice. You need to come this morning and just say, all I've ever do is just believe. That's all I've ever done. I just believe. I can't remember a time when I didn't believe. It's all I've ever got. I really don't have peace in my heart. I ain't got rest. I ain't got the assurance of my salvation. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure right now. If I die, I'd go to heaven. I don't have that. Man, I'm ready to turn. I'm ready to turn from my sin and turn from my life. And I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord, my Savior. I want Him to reign in my heart. I want Him to be the King of my life. Are you that away this morning? I don't want to have just the devil's faith. I don't want that. I want Christ's faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the faith that will bring you to heaven. It's the faith of the Son of God, not the faith of hell.